to Ephesians. And when you get there, say amen. Chapter 1. I know where it is. I don't know why it's taking me such a while to get there. But here we are. Hallelujah. Let's just begin reading at verse 4. One of the things, Paul took a lot of heat in ministering to the people at Ephesus, and in doing so, he said he fought with beasts at Ephesus. So there were some unruly people in that region that were coming against him concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, for the saints that were there, he saw fit to share the true riches, the hidden mysteries of God that had been uncovered from the foundation of the world up until the time he began to disclose it in his letter to them. And so the book of Ephesians is a very profound book, right along with Colossians. They're two great books of the Bible. All the word is good and all the word is great, but they're just some that stand out that are true blessing to the body of Christ. And as a believer, you definitely want to study these two books in particular, and just let the word marinate in your heart, revealing who you are as the church and who Jesus is as the Savior of the body. Amen. So in verse 4, it says, according as he hath chosen. And we shared about being chosen, selected, handpicked. It's like, there's another word used as that's called adoption, and that's in the next verse. But being chosen, that means, you know, you have that, you know what it means. You have that choice, that selection. It's there. And you know, you can, you're free to make choices. There's no pressure on you to make choices. You're just free in that liberty, in that will. You're not concerned about whether somebody's going to get offended or somebody's going to get hurt. You're just at peace. And this is like, this is what I want. You know, it's like going into the marketplace or going into a clothing store, going to a car dealership and all. And you know, and there's no limitations to what you can get. So you go in there and you see, ah, I like that. Give me that. And that's what Dad did with each and every one. Oh, I like you. Give me her. I like him. Give me him. I like you. Give me him. It doesn't mean that he didn't like the other ones. It's just it was your time to be called. It was your time to be summoned. And there's a time for all. God's given everybody the opportunity. He's giving all the opportunity to get saved. It's just that many times when God says, I want you, people hold back and they resist. And they only make life that much more difficult for them. But we've been chosen. So according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy already, God has declared, before the foundation of the world, this is how my sons and daughters are going to be. This is going to be their character, their nature. This is how they are going to live their lives, holy and without blame before him in love. In other words, nobody's going to be able to stand before God and accuse us. There is the accuser of the brethren. He accused the brethren day and night, but his accusations have no effect upon the mind of God, the heart of God, concerning each and every one of us. He can go before God and he can accuse us all he wants to. He can talk about stuff we did yesterday or 20 years ago, but it won't amount to anything before God. Hallelujah. So we're chosen in him. Okay. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, sanctified, set apart, consecrated unto God without blame, blameless. Before God, this is how we are. This is our spiritual position with God. We can feel condemned. We can feel down. We can feel discouraged and all of those other things. We can just reach out and take into our feelings and emotions and let them live themselves out through us. But through the eyesight of God, how God sees us is holy and blameless. Amen. Praise God. Anybody and everybody could point out your faults, but God's not pointing out your faults. As the song says, he looked beyond my fault, saw my need, and he provided everything that we needed to be before him, holy and blameless. What brings us into that place? The precious blood of Jesus. Having predestined us in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Excuse me. To the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amplified says it like this, so that we might be to the praise and the commendation of his glorious grace, favor and mercy, which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved. So we're accepted in him. We are chosen in him. We have been adopted. What is all of this saying? This is where Paul is talking about our spiritual inheritance, talking about, you know, being blessed with all spiritual blessings. This is where it brings us into the place how God sees us. We couldn't achieve this on our own. We couldn't, in our own righteousness, get to this place. So God did it through his son to bring us there. What we could not do, Jesus did for us. And this is how God is looking at us. So we've been chosen. We've been blessed, of course, with all spiritual blessings. We are adopted. We are predestinated. In other words, our future is already determined. It was predetermined even before the foundations of the world. Praise God. And nobody can abort that. And when I say that, I mean nobody can come in and interfere with that. Nobody can come in and change the mind of God concerning you and I. Amen. We're blessed. We're not cursed. And whom God has blessed, no man can curse. Praise God. It doesn't even matter if you don't feel like you're blessed. You're blessed anyways. Hallelujah. So, predestinated us to the adoption. We've been adopted. God is not going to turn his back on us. He's not going to turn himself away from us. God is, he is hooked on, he is how do I say it, Lord? We are hooked up for eternity. That's the best way I could put it. To the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So we are accepted in him, which means that anytime and every time and at all times, we can always come boldly before the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We are accepted. Praise God. Think about this. It kind of goes into the teaching about the kingdom. We'll pick that up probably this Sunday. I was going to do it tonight, but then it's like, let me stay on track with this as well. We are accepted in the beloved. When Esther was challenged to go by her uncle Mordecai, her cousin Mordecai, when she was challenged to go before the king, at first she was hesitant about that because it's like, if I go in there and he doesn't want me to come in there, he rejects me, then I could perish. And you know, Mordecai told her, look, you might think you're safe behind those walls, but you're one of us too. And as surely as they'll come after us, I'm paraphrasing, they're going to come after you. So you're not safe behind those walls there. And so when she came to her senses, which didn't take very long, she says, okay, tell you what you do. Call a three-day fast. I'm going to go in before the king. If I perish, I perish. But she went into the palace and went before the king. And what did the king do? Umamahu. He accepted her. He accepted her. What did he do? He raised that scepter up and said, you're accepted, come on in. Praise God. That's what dad says. You're accepted, come on in, child. Hallelujah. Come on in. Well, you don't know what I did. Yeah, I know what you did. But you see who's at my right hand? His blood has cleansed you from everything that you've done. You're accepted. Come on in. What do you need? Come on in. I don't feel worthy. You're not. But my son has made you worthy. Come on in. You're accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in him, Christ Jesus. In whom we have redemption. Here's another word, redemption. What does the word redemption mean? Anybody, everybody, somebody. be bought back. That's the best definition you can have. Redeemed, bought back, purchased. Hallelujah. Purchased from what? Purchased from the slave master of sin and wickedness. I want to get to the Greek definition for it. Just give me just 1 second. I'll deal with this technology. I try to deal with this technology. I used to think it was me until I saw other ministers having problems with the same technology stuff. Okay. Redemption, the act, ransom in full, that is riddance or Christian salvation. Now, I'm like, it works so well at home. Riddance, that word. Anybody ever heard the statement or made the statement, good riddance? What does that mean? Huh? I'm done with this. I like that too. Good riddance. Out of here. Out of sight. Out of mind. Oh, that's what happens with your sins. That's what happens when you get redeemed. Good riddance to that old man, that old life, that old way, that old habit, that bad thing that was plaguing you. Good riddance. Goodbye. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Whatever your weakness was, whatever your stumbling block was, whatever it was that was hindering you, just good riddance, you get set free. When you're redeemed, you are made free. Pastor Rod, back in, it was in the early 2000s, might have been around 2010 or so, somewhere in there. He still does it to this day, but he was sending over funds to Sudan. And he was sending these funds over there in order to free slaves, because slavery still goes on today in some nations. And we even have it in our nation in the form of human trafficking. They call that another type of human slavery, if you will. They even call the prison system a slavery system, because many of them, they work for, you know, slave wages, if you will, and they're incarcerated, so they don't get their freedom, but they continue to do this work, if you will, just another way of manipulation. Pastor Rott would send finances, and he would raise finances. And up to this point, I think there's been 30,000 plus. I know it's over 30. I'm not sure the exact number. 30,000 plus slaves that have been set free in Sudan simply by sending money over there and paying those who are masters over these slaves to cause them to be loosed or redeemed. And they're redeemed from their master. They're redeemed from their former slave owner. And so it's like good riddance, you know, goodbye, see you, ain't coming back no more. And so this one particular year, it was a governing official, I think it was a senator or someone who was over there visiting to look at the plight of the people over there. And while he was there, he overheard this conversation going on. And in this conversation, he heard this man coming up to these slaves whose chains were being broken off of them. And the man said, I set you free by, and I can't paraphrase it exactly, but I can't speak it exactly verbatim, but by World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio, under the leadership of Pastor Rob Parsley, we set you free. And it was a senator, I believe it was, heard those very words. Now, mind you, he's over in Sudan. Pastor Rod's over here in Columbus, Ohio. He gets back and he lets him know, this is what I heard. And it just, of course, it caused the church to erupt in praise, because it's like, yeah! But redeemed, purchased, purchased from something bad into something good. And so we have redemption through his blood. That blood that Jesus shed on Calvary wasn't just a weak, normal, you know, sacrifice of an animal, a bull, a goat, and a ram. This blood is known as the precious blood of the Lamb that not only paid the price for our sin debt, but also gave us victory over the one who was our master, if you will, when we were under the sway and influence of the devil. You've been redeemed. Your sins have been remitted. Good riddance to the devil. Good riddance to the bondage. Good riddance to the slavery. You're no longer a slave. You're now free. This is your spiritual inheritance from God. So whenever you feel less than, or whenever you feel bad, or whenever you feel oppressed, if you will, remember you've been set free from the oppressor. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. We could probably all quote it, but I won't hold you to that. It says how that Jesus Christ was anointed. Bring it on the board, please, Sister Lori. How that God hath anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Now, that's what Jesus was doing while on the earth. So when he shed his blood, it was for everybody. Praise God. Because we weren't there when Jesus was on the face of the earth. We were swimming around in somebody's loins, but we weren't born at that time. Our time had not yet come. But what he did for them was while he was here on the earth. And remember what Jesus says, whoever believes in me, the works that I do shall ye do, yea, even greater. Because they're wondering, what must we do to work the works of God? Believe on him whom he has sent. The works that I do shall you do, yea, even greater, because I go back to the Father. So Jesus physically did the healings and miracles while he was here on the earth. Gave the disciples, the apostles, gave them power and authority to do the same works. Then after he ascended, he said, but I got to go. What do you mean you got to go? I got to go, because if I don't go, the helper won't come. But if I go, I'll send him, and he's going to be with you. And when he sent the Holy Ghost, it was as if Jesus, it's the same spirit who raised him from the dead. It was the same spirit that operated on Jesus and through Jesus. That same spirit now lives and abides within you and I. So the same power and the authority that Jesus walked in the earth, he has released us to us underneath him. He gave us his name to operate in, which means we operate in his authority and his power that he has released to us in the earth. When we carry that out, we carry out the works of God. So all of this was part of the redemption, the riddance, the, what's the other word that I'm looking for? It'll come back. I'll just keep moving. Acceptance. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Inheritance, all of that. To the praise of the glory of his grace, verse 6, wherein he hath made us, yes, accepted in the beloved, in whom, here we go, this is the word, redemption, in whom we have redemption through his blood. His blood was not shed in vain. His blood still speaks. The blood of Abel spoke vengeance. Avenge me, because I've been killed. Cain has murdered me. Avenge me. Jesus' blood does not speak vengeance. It speaks salvation. It speaks reconciliation. It speaks redemption. Again, this is why I believe in my heart that Jesus, the reason he didn't condemn that woman caught in the very act of adultery is because he didn't come to condemn. He came to save. And to save is just the opposite of condemning. So nobody was condemned. Even the Pharisees, the Sadducees, he called them brood of vipers and hypocrites. Even the very ones that walked before him while he was hanging on that cross. He saved others, let him save himself. Mocking him, Jesus was dying for them too. And if they would have repented of their sins, he would have quickly forgiven them of their sins. Because as he said in his first words from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If the principalities knew what was going to happen when Jesus got crucified on that cross and buried in that grave, if they knew he was going to rise from the dead, they never would have crucified him. Because in that crucifixion came resurrection. And that resurrection secured our salvation. Hallelujah. And now we're redeemed, we're ransomed, we're bought. Hallelujah. We're blessed. Praise God. So, in whom we have redemption, got to hurry up. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Forgiveness. What is forgiveness? To let go, to be released, pardoned, granted clemency, free to go, guilty, but free to go. Why? Because our sins were nailed at the cross with him. Our sins were laid upon him. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins. So all of our sins were put on Jesus. He took our punishment, was nailed to the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb, rose the third day to die no more, and has forgiven us of all our sins and all our transgressions. Well, if we're forgiven of our sins, why do we go, you know, why don't we just go out and just sin? Because it's already been forgiven. Sin puts us in bondage. It enslaves us. Christ frees us. He opens up the prison cell, and then he takes us by the hand and says, come on out, you're free. It's foolish to get free and then to go and lock yourself back up again. Why go into bondage to something that Christ has set you free from? He's broken the power of sin in our lives. He's cut the ties. You know, we once were under the sway and the influence. We'll get there in chapter 2. But we once were under the sway and influence. I like to do this because it's like somebody hovering over us. We once were under the sway and influence of the devil. Before we came to Jesus Christ, we were under the influence of the devil, no matter how good we thought we may have been. No matter how all right we thought we may have been, we were under the sway and influence of the devil. He's known as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience, who works in the sons of disobedience, according to Ephesians chapter 2. Jesus broke the power and the influence of the devil off of our lives. He set us free. Hallelujah. He purchased us from that slave master. Praise God. And by his stripes we are, hallelujah, according to the riches or the abundance of his grace. Some people think grace is just, you know, something that we receive and so we can just go live in the old kind of way. But grace has power in it. Hallelujah. Wherein he hath, excuse me, abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. I want to read through these. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, that word dispensation, the very meaning of it is, the Greek word is oikonomia, which is where we get our word economy from, or oikonomia, and it means administration of a household or estate, specifically a religious economy, if you will. And so we come out of darkness and we come into the kingdom of God's dear son, and we come into the economy of the kingdom. We come out of the economy of the world and we come into the economy of the kingdom. That's what the dispensation is all about. And so he says here that in the dispensation of the oikonomia, the economy of God, of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I'm going to stop right there, but I want you to think about what he just said there. He said, both in heaven and in earth. When you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, who can recite it for me? Think about it. What does it say? In the beginning, created heavens and the earth. Now, we know from what scientists have said and what has been shown and proven that there's more planets than just Earth in our solar system, if you will. There's more. There's Mercury, Venus, Mars, Pluto, Neptune, Saturn, dot, dot, dot. But the Bible doesn't mention them. I'm not saying they don't exist. What the Bible does mention is heaven and earth. Why? Because that's the relationship. And in that relationship, it just covers the entire universe. Because God is God of the heavens and the earth. But his relationship, that personal relationship, is with earth. It was on earth that God decided to create man in his image and after his likeness. So the relationship is there in the beginning, and the relationship is still the same today. That relationship between heaven and earth. The kingdom of heaven, the place where God lives. The kingdom of God is a place where God's kingdom has expanded to. The kingdom of God shall be with you. The kingdom of God shall be within you. It doesn't come by observation in the natural. It's in the realm of the spirit. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Sometimes synonymous, meaning the same thing. Other times there's a distinction to be made. And so now with that being said, here he says in verse 10 that in the dispensation of time, or the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Because God has taken us back to the beginning of the way he originally designed things. The way he started is the way it's going to finish. God will have relationship on earth, and earth will depend upon heaven, and earth will depend upon God, and there will be that relationship that will be for all eternity. I know that may not make much sense, but as we continue to march on, it's going to become clearer and clearer and clearer. Earth is the colony of heaven. When Jesus came on the scene, well, let's start with John the Baptist. When John the Baptist came on the scene, what was his message? Thank you. Repeat it. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus started his ministry, what was his opening words? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We see something in the beginning where we see God giving man dominion. Dominion comes from, you know, a king having a kingdom. You know, that dominion, he has authority and he has rule over a kingdom. A kingdom is comprised of a king and domain. So it was there in the beginning, and God wanted to extend his family. You already have the kingdom of heaven. God has the earth, and he says, now I'm going to establish rule on earth just like there's rule in heaven. When Jesus told us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, what did he tell us to pray for to come to the earth? Thy kingdom come. So the kingdom mindset comes into the forefront. The gospel of Jesus Christ is also the gospel of what? Somebody said, gospel of the kingdom. It is written. It is the gospel of the kingdom of God. What God intended in the beginning, he's going to fulfill that. Oh, it's a lot, but it's going to be good. I pray that you can, you know, digest what's coming out. It may come out in bits and pieces. It may come out in clarity. Just don't miss what comes out. Amen? Hallelujah. Because it's really good and it's really rich. It's what God intended. We now have a permanent king who shall rule for all eternity. You see it with the Levitical priesthood coming out of Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood, who were the high priest. The high priest could not last because of death. He was forbidden to pass on because of death, if you will. He couldn't remain a high priest forever. Neither could a king remain king forever. But God made a promise to King David. I shared that with you Sunday. There will always be a man to rule on your throne. But now under this new covenant, we have a king who lasts forever, and we have a high priest who lasts forever. He comes not according to the order of the Levitical priesthood or the Aaronic priesthood. He comes according to the order of Melchizedek, who had no beginning and no end. Melchizedek was high priest, and Melchizedek was also king of Salem, which Salem means peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but he's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And just as his ministry is, as our great king and our high priest, even we come to the kingdom as kings and priests unto our Heavenly Father under the rule, authority, and lordship of Jesus. And remember, at this point in time, what God is doing is God is making all of Jesus, he's placing all of Jesus' enemies underneath his feet. The ultimate will be that battle at Armageddon. But right now, God is. This is why Jesus says, I give you authority and power over all the power of the enemy. Why? To put him subject underneath our feet. And this goes on from generation after generation after generation until finally the Father says, okay, now go and finish everything. And then once, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, once Christ finishes everything, every enemy is made subject to him. And the Bible says that the last enemy will be death. But until such time, every enemy will be placed subject to him. And then once even death is dealt its final blow, then the Bible tells us, then Jesus presents the kingdom to the Father, who gave him authority and rule to rule over the kingdom and to bring everything subject unto him. What does it mean for us? It means that we are a part, not just of human beings living on this earth, but a part of the eternal kingdom of God, God getting his will done in the earth, that brings us to that place where we read, when we read that last chapter in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, where there's a new city and a new heaven and a new earth, and all of the former things are gone and forgotten, and now we reign in eternity. We get to take part. When I say this, don't misunderstand the word that I'm using. We play a part. We have a part. We are a part of everything that God is doing in the earth. We can take it serious and carry it out, or we can jokingly play around with it and miss out. I don't know about you. God's got so much confidence in us that we'll carry out his will and we'll do a job well done. Hallelujah. For the glory of God. Give God praise. Thank you for being here tonight. Love you dearly. Stand to your feet. If you have any prayer requests, let me know now, and we'll pray and be in agreement with you. But we love you very dearly. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, which is forever settled in heaven. Thank you for your spirit that resides in us and clothes us. Thank you for Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask your blessing upon each and every person that is here tonight and speak that blessed prayer that you taught Aaron to pray over the people. The Lord our God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And we thank you, Father, for healing, virtue, and power, and might that flows from the throne of grace. We release it now in your daughter's life, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, throughout her entire being. And we thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. Be blessed, everybody. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Good to see you. Lord bless you. Amen. Love you.